County, Oklahoma, USA. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Pastors of Payne.
Payne.
We are in Payne County, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Yet we have listeners all over the world. I want to give a shout out, Father Carey, to the middle schoolers.
What?
Specifically the eighth graders at St. Mary Catholic School in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
What?
Because part of their religion class, some of their assignments are to listen to this show.
Oh, no.
Which shows incredibly poor judgment by the teacher there.
Oh, my gosh.
Exposing young minds to
wild, awesome, theological.
So
goofiness.
I was recently sent by a former colleague of mine at Bishop Kelly High School, whose daughter is in the eighth grade.
Okay.
At the School of St. Mary. My former residence.
People are renaming nameless.
Yeah.
Like, are people in Turks and Caicos?
So this essay, the prompt was, they listened to our episode from many years ago called Things That We Priests Find Annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it was. Anyway, so here's what it says. You ready?
Okay.
So the prompt was, three things priests find annoying, and do you do them?
Oh.
After listening, what are some better habits you can adopt?
Okay.
So here's what this young person
did they
wrote.
Listen to it in class?
I don't know.
Okay.
Three things priests find annoying in church. When kids talk in mass, priests notice. I don't find it annoying when kids talk.
It's adults.
I can't help it. When people leave mass early,
oh,
it's a bad example.
Yes.
When people stay in the main church and talk after mass.
Yeah.
And when people don't sing.
Oh, yeah, that was you. You like it when they sing.
I do like it when they sing. So this person said, this young person said, after listening to this podcast, the only thing I really do is talk while still in church. And I sometimes talk during mass. Some better habits I can adopt of listening to this is trying to be quieter when leaving the church and obviously not talking. And then the teacher wrote, she got a check mark. And then the teacher wrote, we do the same. It happens! Exclamation point. So. Anyway, there we go.
Okay.
Forming young minds.
Forming them up.
Young minds. What a day.
Hey.
What a day.
So I was reading the prophet Joel the other day.
Oh, on Ash Wednesday?
No, just recently.
Just generally just reading generally. Joel?
And I made it into a song. I made the prophet Joel into a song. You ready? See, maybe this will take off. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. I was wrong, and I just can't live without you. Wow, 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 wow. I got to stop there because I don't want anybody charging me for the amount of music I sang.
So if you Ash Wednesday, first reading.
Uh-huh. Come back to me with your whole heart.
Yeah. That is the first reading on Ash Wednesday. Every year.
Yeah, yeah. So what I wanted to do, I mean, last week we talked about your move. I'm still perturbed. But you know what? I'm giving up being perturbed with you for Lent.
One thing real quick on that. What I want people to think about, if you would, are people that live in and around Tulsa that maybe don't have a parish.
Oh.
Maybe Catholics who you might know who have fallen away from their faith and are looking to jump back in.
Yeah.
I would like to know who they are because I would like, when I get there, I'm not there yet, but I would like to, similar to what we do here in Stillwater on Payne County on a regular basis, when we find out that somebody doesn't have a church home or is maybe Catholic but not practicing their faith, we try to reach out to them and invite them back. So anyway, if you have any names and numbers, emails, whatever, you can just shoot those my way.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
Okay.
So we're at the midway point of
yes.
Lent. I think is this what you want to talk about?
Yeah. And
it's halftime. Are you gonna give us a halftime pep talk?
Yeah.
Like from Rudy?
I've never seen that.
You've never seen Rudy?
No.
Can we watch Rudy before I leave?
Yeah. Yeah, we can. We should do it on a Thursday night. After our dinner, after our big dinner, we should just watch
it. I think Father Healy would like Rudy.
Yeah. I think he would.
Yeah. He's not a big football fan, but...
He's learned a lot about football.
You don't have to... it helps to appreciate... Okay. All right.
Okay. So, this is... We started Lent, Ash Wednesday, the Thursday after Ash Wednesday, Friday, the first Sunday in Lent. And then there's this, what we call drift. You know, in the business world, people get like, they drift from the focus of what they're doing.
Organizations do it all the time.
Yeah.
We do it all the time. You wake up in the morning and you think, okay, this is what I got to do. And then by noon, you're doing lots of other things.
And companies do it, and they start to get off the rails.
Happens to families.
Oh, yeah.
It happens to marriages.
Yep. Mm. When you start piling too many things on, or you get priority one, priority two, priority three, priority four.
And they're all the most important priority.
Uh-huh. So when we began this great season of Lent, as the opening prayer said, this campaign of Christian service.
Nice.
As it says, fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. You and I talked about using this line from our homilies that fasting. Wait. Tithing is about your relationship with the poor and other people around you. Prayer is about your relationship with God, and fasting is about self-control. And most people just spend all their time on fasting, which is like, how am I getting better at this stuff? And we leave out the other two things, which are the poor, like stepping over the doorway where Lazarus is lying there with sores and dogs are looking, and we completely ignore the poor that are around us and the feet and the homeless. When you're going to have this when you get to Holy Family. There's just homeless, like 30 of them that you're going to see a day. It's like, how do you care for them? So that in the area of tithing and the area of prayer, which is deepening our relationship with God and giving our whole heart, mind, and soul to the good God. And as I said on Ash Wednesday, and I keep on telling people.
Like your homily? This was your homily?
No, I said to this. I have this little card that says, Lent is here. Don't fast from chocolate or soda. Because fasting from chocolate or soda is... like having a rope tied to your ankle with a 50-pound weight pulling you down in the water, and you're trying to cut yourself loose with a spoon. Okay, don't fast from just.
I give up soda.
Chocolate and soda. You also did a lot more stuff in your faith life and your fasting than just soda.
How do you know?
Because I live in the same house with you.
Okay.
We're not roommates, but I live in the same.
I gave up talking to you before noon.
that's something you did that. Like,
I do that anyway.
Yeah, you do that anyway. You're like, oh, don't look at me. Anyway, so I want to take just on this show of just making a pit stop, pulling in as they do in NASCAR or all racing. They check the tires. They clean the windshield. They make sure the fuel is in there. They check in with the driver. Okay, are we still going down the right road? Are we still striving after both our growth in holiness and relationship with God, our growth in holiness with our neighbor, and our growth in holiness of helping ourselves becoming places where grace and divine life have a home?
I'll just say this. One very important mid-Lent check-in is, have you been to confession yet? And if you haven't, Lent is half over.
Yep.
I would say if you have not been to confession this Lent, it's time. Like, one, don't wait till, you know, sometimes it happens around here, people wait until the last, you know, 5 minutes that we're offering it on Holy Saturday. But for your own good,
You offer confessions on Holy Saturday?
Usually we do it as like a bonus.
Yeah,
like usually, a bonus episode.
Yeah, between the two parishes here, I think there's, 10
Holy
hours?
Holy Week is going to be ridiculous.
We have 12 hours of confessions, and then Holy Thursday, I have confessions from 7 to midnight.
Father Healy heard 3 hours on Sunday. I had an hour, and then I had the later two masses, so he heard confessions. He took a 5-minute break in the middle. It's like, dude. He came out, and he had this kind of look on his face, like, okay, that was a lot.
He's just been.
And then he smiled and he whistled and ran away. I mean, that's great. It's great. Yeah. It's beautiful.
So anyway, go to confession. So, okay, go to confession.
Yeah.
Well, we began Lent with this phrase, repent and believe in the gospel. So in your mid Lenten check-in with yourself, because repent is the word for metanoia or the conversion of your mind.
Like, yep.
Change your way of thinking. Like, what have you noticed that hasn't changed? Like, you are in a rut and something in life that hasn't changed, that you have not been able to metanoia, that you're experiencing in yourself or you're experiencing because of other people or your habitual attraction to both evil or vice, and said, like, okay, I need to actually repent from this. I need to change this about myself. I need the help of God's grace, because then if we just saying, I need to do this all by myself, then we become Pelagians who try to save ourselves. And Pelagianism is a heresy. So in the order of repentance, what are we daily repenting from?
Daily.
The second part of that, repent, and the second part is then believe in the gospel. So how have you become better friends with the word of God, the scriptures? People, you know, even in students are asking, like, well, how do I pray? It's like, well, prayer is simply a conversation with another living being. We're having, Father O'Brien and I are, I pray you, we're conversing, we're conversating right now. And so prayer is a conversation with another living being. And this living being who is rational and knows things and can build a relationship with you, not your puppy dog or your parrot, but the good God, the good Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as you believe in the gospel, how are you deepening your relationship with, with the living God, especially going through the scriptures and getting to know the movements of God? Every time I do marriage preparation, I start in Genesis and I walk them through and show how Adam and Eve, our first parents, in that original holiness, recognized the movement of God in the garden. They had become so familiar and had been in such a relationship with the living God that they knew the sound of the movement of God in the garden at the breezy time of the day. How in both repentance and coming to read the gospel, the good news of salvation, becoming familiar with God moving about in your life. How is God moving each day? You know, we've been talking about it, about like the Holy Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and becoming familiar with the Holy Spirit, both speaking to us and as it began, like you talked about, like the Holy Spirit driving Jesus out into the desert. You know, the Holy Spirit, right after Jesus' baptism, then takes Jesus out in the desert and then engages in this 40 days of fasting and penance before he begins his ministry. So how have you recognized the movements of the Holy Spirit each day? And if you're saying like, okay, I haven't done either of those, then remember that great old Latin phrase, start now. I mean, begin again. Yeah, just begin again. Yeah. Begin again right now. If you haven't started already once, then begin
right
now.
Yeah, so we're halfway through Lent, and if you haven't done anything for Lent, then you're just going to get a half a Lent. But half a Lent is better than no Lent.
Yeah.
You can do quite a bit. Or allow God to do something in you for the last, whatever, these last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So Easter is March 31st. It's coming, you know? And so through your prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and sort of less, you know, less, I've been saying this a lot, like less sort of what we're, like, look at what I'm doing, as if we're like trying, like Lent is about impressing God with our stuff, which it's
not.
You
don't impress me much.
I don't care.
What do you think? You're a rock star? Oh, that's Shania Twain.
Yes,
that song. Just God, I hate that song.
Now you have all.
Just like a wall.
Everyone's stopping the podcast, and now they want to go listen.
And now they want to go throw up.
So you're Brad Pitt.
that, no, don't impress me much. I don't even like
Shania Twain. It's not about what you're doing. It's about allowing God. And this is our whole life. I mean, our whole life is like, Lord, work through me to bring about your kingdom on this earth. Lord, save me. If I'm going to be saved, it's not going to be through my own efforts, but rather getting, you know, Mother Teresa always said, you know, my job is to get out of the way. I'm a pencil in God's hand, she used to say, you know.
Or what's yours is be a donkey.
Be a donkey.
The donkey just Palm Sunday.
Yeah. Be the donkey. Be the one who brings Jesus to the people and then go away.
And the donkey doesn't have a name, even though his name.
And no one's like, that was some donkey. On Palm Sunday, we get all psyched about the donkey. No, we get excited about the person on who was riding on the donkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, be the donkey.
Donkey.
Be the lobster and be a donkey. That's it. That's all we got. I like the idea of kind of a mid-Lent check-in of how am I doing?
Yeah.
Am I keeping up with my, you know, and I think what happens a lot of times, I'll say like, you know, probably like with college students, like spring break is in the middle of it. And then I think, you know, this happens to us. You know, I have sort of my Lenten fasting specifically. And then I might go to someone's house for dinner. So this happened a couple weeks ago. I went to a family's house and they were, you know, they were like serving something that I had given up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's you could go either way. What I chose, I ate it. I mean, I'm sorry, I know you prepared this whole meal, but I just ate it and it was good. And I gave it up. I like it. And so then you could say like, well, fine. Now I've eaten that. And so now Lent is ruined. Or you say, okay, I did that it was good. It tasted good. It was great. But as an act of charity to the family, like, let's not make this whole dinner about me and what I give up for Lent.
Uh-huh.
Let's not make them feel bad. So I ate it. And then the next day, you pick it back up.
Right.
I'm still giving that up for Lent, even though I ate it like that one night.
Yep.
That ought not to deter your particular efforts.
Yeah. One of the things I'm doing is reading the Gospel of Matthew for the season of Lent. And it's magnificent. And then there's like 2 days that I lost. I couldn't remember where I put my Bible. I got that beat up old paper bag and I just carry all my, and then when that bag breaks, I get another paper bag and just carry my stuff.
Can we talk about that?
No. Let's not talk. Well, anyway, I lost my paper bag.
Did you give up like real bags for Lent?
No, I just don't like carrying around a bag. Anyway, did I tell you about this? Like that I had it. And then I told the students one Sunday, I said, listen here, someone took my paper bag by the door and I don't know if you threw it away, but it has my prayer book in it, and it also has my Sunday homily in it. I left it by the door sat on a Saturday, and it's disappeared. No, I left it by the door on a Friday, and I came back to get it on a Saturday morning, and it was gone. So after I have no Sunday homily, I have no breviary. I'm using my iPhone / an old breviary to like fill in the blanks. And, you know, I'm driving home. And I hear this voice say, paper bags in the back seat. I was like, so I looked over, literally, I looked over my shoulder and I looked back there, nothing, no paper bag in the back seat. So I'm just driving silently at McElroy and I'm coming into the parking lot at St. Francis and I zoom in and I pull in, I park and I was like, no wonder. And I open the back door of my back seat. There's nothing there except my ice scraper leaning against a crunched up brown paper bag underneath my seat. And I was like, and there were like shoes on top of it. I was like, oh no. But it was the prompting. It was like the Holy Spirit saying, hey, your prayer
God
book?
Moving in the garden.
Yeah. God moving, like recognizing the movements. And I was like, yes, brown paper bag. Yeah. But anyway, all that stuff was in there. So anyway, I misplaced my Bible and back to this. And I had to catch up on my reading. So I just sat down and I said, Lord, I didn't read the Gospel of Matthew for 3 days. So I'm going to start right now and I'm going to catch up. Now, there's the other ones, like the 54-day rosary novena that people pray, and they're like, oh, no, I'm behind schedule. Or like the Louis de Montfort 33-day consecration. Like even Louis de Montfort will say, like, if you miss 3 days, don't go back and try to make up those 3 days. Just start today. Just like
begin
boom.
Again.
Yeah, begin again right now. So for all of us out there, I mean, there's that moment where we're cruising through and, you know, the other day, Father David Webb's going away party.
That was
like,
fun.
Like I gave up alcohol for Lent. And I was like, I'm not drinking beer, I'm not drinking wine, I'm not drinking alcohol. And it was like a 4-hour party, and someone was like, they had a cocktail. And I was like, I'll have a Cuba Libre. I'll have a rum and Coke with a wine.
I was there when you ordered it.
Yeah. I haven't had a Cuba Libre since I lived in the Panama Canal Zone when I was 19. I was 20 years old. And I was
what's the drinking age in
Panama? The drinking age on a Navy base is 18. So on the Navy bases where we were, or on the Army post,
okay,
or
just check them.
When you're out in the field.
I don't want to scandalize the young people.
Oh, yeah, great. So it was, I turned 21 while I was there. I was 20. I turned 21 that January.
The middle schoolers at St. Mary's?
I hear them, yep. Anywho, so it was just like that. And then I had a nice dinner and hung out with the guys and I broke my fast,
and now pick it back up.
And then Tuesday, back.
You
on
hear
the
this
train.
A lot with when people come to confession, there's you know what confession does. Confession wipes the slate clean.
Oh yeah, baby.
You know, but I think some people don't believe that, because then God has forgiven you. Those sins are wiped away, and then. But you still, like, you leave the confessional acting as if, like, God hasn't forgiven you. Like, it's meant to be, I mean, a new beginning. With the encouragement, Jesus to the woman, like, go and sin no more, you know? But I think we can kind of get caught up in our past. And that can be something dramatic. Like, I did something terrible in my 20s. And I still feel bad about it. Or on a smaller level, like, oh, I gave up this, but then I ate some. Oh. As if your Lent has like completely blown up. As if your life has completely blown up because you did one bad thing in your 20s. And what God wants to say is that that's just simply not true. That God does not, when God looks at us, God does not see our sins. He doesn't... His love for us is not defined by our sin. And so if you sin, okay, that's a big deal, and you shouldn't do that. And go and receive God's mercy and begin again.
Oh, yeah.
And so the idea that somehow your Lent is, well, I can't do that because I said I wasn't going to swear, and then I swore. So I don't know. I guess I'll just, you know, swear like crazy until Easter.
Oh my gosh.
And that's not what it's about, right? It's about conversion. And what we know about conversion, uh-huh. Any of us who are human beings listening to this, right? We mess up all the time.
Yes.
I wake up and I think, okay, today is the day I'm going to be so like kind and nice to that particular person that, you know, I have a podcast with but then I'm not, then I'm mean. And I'm uncharitable, and then I have to think, okay, so now do I just sort of wail on that person and be uncharitable all the time? No, I get back on the horse, right? Get back on the donkey. Get back to it and try again. I think we're too sort of absolute about penance and about forgiveness, and like forgiveness happens, and yeah. Now you get a fresh start, and you know, now do it over again, and try to do it better with God's help.
I think the other side of it is also we do these things, as we talked about at the beginning. We do some of these things in a Pelagian way, like I'm going to do all this stuff, and let's remember like. Through Lent and through these acts of penance and mortification, we're asking one God to constantly help us. Constantly help us to repent, to change our ways. The other part of it is, the other side is, sometimes we just get, I think, so comfortable with doing nothing.
Yes.
You know, I can always tell, whenever I talk to my spiritual director, Father Hellstrom in Denver, and I say, like, you know what? I had 6 weeks where I went to wedding parties every Friday, Saturday, and then had all these events going on and all these cookouts and summer events. And like, I have become very sluggish and just sort of lethargic and like portly, and my body, I can feel it, like doing all these celebrations. And if I just keep celebrating one after another, after another, after another, and living this celebratory, eat chocolate cake, nothing fat free, you know, just like, oh yes, just pound it. And I just become the kind of person that does that thing.
Yeah, there's a comfort. There's almost a malaise that comes over us. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, where our friend Deacon Harrison Garlick,
Tulsa,
you know, he wrote this essay on like fat-souled men or weak-willed and fat-souled. And,
yes,
that we're and this is kind of especially in the kind of I would just say in the West. In the United States specifically. Yeah, he said, soft and fat-souled man not only disbelieves in his own greatness, but begins to hate greatness in others. It is his fate to wallow pallid and corpulent, deadened to eros and untouched by courage.
Yeah. We forget about our greatness. And so when I become attached to these things of just celebrating and parties and events, I just become so attached to them that I forget that I'm made in God's image and after his own likeness.
And that's where fasting comes in. What fasting does is it makes space, and you realize I'm not full. I don't have the nourishment, or I don't have the food that I want. And we realize our longing for God, right? We realize our hunger for God. Whenever we're in prayer, we realize we need God. In fasting, we realize we need God. And in almsgiving, we're taking stuff, you know, maybe that we earned, quote unquote, earned, and are giving it away. It's an opportunity to rely more and more on God. We're making space for the Lord, to enter.
Yeah, it's. Remember those sunglasses in the 80s that had windshield wipers on them? Did you ever see those motorized glasses? I feel that's also an additional part of my life.
That was really a thing.
Yeah, they were like, maybe they were strings or something, but I saw them on a movie. And I was like, I want a pair of those.
Like in a police academy
movie? Yeah, yeah, it was in a comedy movie. I was like, that's so cool. And they were like, that's what fasting, prayer, and almsgiving do. They clear out the eyes of the mind. They clear out the eyes to the soul, and they clear out the eyes to worshiping God and serving our brothers and sisters.
What do we say at the gospel, right? When the deacon says, "The Lord be with you and with your spirit," a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. What do you do?
May the Lord be on my mind and on my lips and in my heart.
So you make a cross on your gospel. On your forehead and on your lips. And on your heart. And there it is, right? Lord, be in my head. But is there space in your head for the Lord? Or is it filled with everything that you're doing and watching and listening to?
No.
Lord, make space in my lips. Is there space in your mouth? Or are you talking all the time? You know, yes. And is there space in my heart? Is there space in my heart? Or have I filled my heart with all these kind of lust and greed, and have I filled my heart with all these other things so that there's no room for God?
Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
And what Rudy did is he poured himself out. He gave of himself for the good of the team.
You're gonna have to watch this now.
All right, go Irish.
No comments.
Are you
just promoting McGinnis?
What's the Holy Family mascot?
Oh,
is it? No.
Oh, man. Peace.
We don't have